WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day today to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are going to hear a sermon I just preached last Sunday, and it's the last one in this series of Priority Mail. How apropos that it'll be the last church, and that is the lukewarm church of Laodicea, whom the Lord says, "You make me want to vomit." Now remember, he's writing to the pastor of this church. And man, oh man, is he sore at the pastor of this church for what's going on there. So that's what we're going to be looking at here today, Wednesday and Thursday. And we'll let this opening play for both days. If it's Wednesday, I invite you to church tonight. We're having a midweek Bible study. We'll be in Luke chapter 12, 6 o'clock tonight. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. You're invited. Love to see you. Let's get into the Word now.
The Lukewarm Church. We're in this series I've entitled Priority Mail. Today I'd rather be four-wheeling in my Jeep than sneaking into this pastor's office to read his mail. Now let me say here as we go through, a lot of people, respected people, think that the seven churches represent the seven ages of the church prior to Jesus' return. And I agree with that as well. I believe, if in fact that's true, that means the one we're going to study and look at today is going to be the last functioning church here on planet Earth when Jesus returns. Also, in addition to that, you could find yourself in any one of these seven churches. You could find yourself in a dead church. Many of us, as the Lord said, in this world, you will suffer. In this world, you will have tribulation. You could find yourself in a persecuted church. You could find yourself in a dead church. You could find yourself, as we looked at 2 weeks ago, which I say that island is, and that is the Philadelphia church, that is the faithful church, where Jesus said, he said, "I set before you an open door and no man can shut." You and I, we have a blank check from the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Go and do ministry. Here's your check. Pay it all to Island Community Church. Signed, the Son of God." Dollar amount is empty. It's what we decide to put in there. He's promised to bless. Now, I believe that that's us. But individually, some people or many churches could find yourself in what the Lord describes as a lukewarm church. Jesus tells this pastor, when you break into this pastor's office and read his mail, you get a letter from Jesus. Remember, Jesus dictates seven letters to the Apostle John and says, send them to the pastors in these seven churches. Now, this last one here, Jesus tells this pastor that he makes him want to vomit. Wow. So remember that this pastor's method of doing ministry, this pastor's method of doing ministry gives or makes the Lord Jesus sick to his stomach. And those who follow that pastor, sick to his stomach. Here's the best definition for lukewarm I've ever heard. Something is lukewarm when it's the same temperature as its surroundings. So turn with me, please, to the last book of the Bible. It's on the handout if you don't have a Bible. Last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Again, it's on the handout if you don't have a Bible. Revelation 3:14. Let me set the table here so we can fully understand both the Lord's message to this church, Laodicea, as well as the Lord's message to the lukewarm church today. Now, this city, Laodicea, was an extremely wealthy and prosperous city. All right, these guys were rich. Also, they had a terrible problem with water. The water was lukewarm, and it was just nasty, a nasty old, like drinking seawater or something. Nasty. But here's the first problem with this church right off the bat. For the Lord said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Now, this city had three particular claims to fame. Write these down if you want. These are the three things this city was known for. Number one, a financial and banking center. Or number one, you could say banking. Number two, a clothing manufacturing center. So number two would be clothing. Number three, the location of a famous medical school renowned for its eye salve. So banking, clothing, and eye salve. Keep that in mind as we go through this letter. That's what this city is known for. And keep that in mind as we go through the Lord addressing this lukewarm church, because the Lord is going to use all three of their strengths and turn them into weaknesses. Because he can do that. And he can do it with you and me as well. Everyone hear me? He can take your strengths and turn them into weaknesses. Or what you think is a strength and turn it into a weakness. He can do it with you. He can do it with me. Imagine if he said to me, Esposito, you're a rotten pastor, a bad preacher, a bad Bible translator, and you stink on the radio. He can turn anything around and make it into a weakness or a deficiency. Or maybe, Solana, you're a bad teacher, you're a bad worship leader, and you cut a miserable lawn. Talk about hitting a guy in the solar plexus. Of anything, leave that one out, right? Because we pride ourselves. At least we do something. So you take whatever it is that you think you're doing right, and he just wham, right in the guts. That's what he did to this pastor. You think these things are your strengths when actually they're your weaknesses. Now, this is what he's doing to the pastor of this church. Or actually, the strong points of this city. Now, let's dig into this. Let's seek the words, the Lord's wisdom here. Let's pray. Lord Almighty, we ask and pray for your wisdom and insight here today. Lord, we approach you with open ears, open hearts, hungry hearts. Help us to know and understand your word better. Because we know revelation knowledge comes from you. And help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers. Help us to hear and then give us the power to change, to make things right. All these letters have been about change. Here's what you're doing wrong, you tell us. You give us the power to make it right. We listen for your voice now. Speak to us where we know that you speak, in the pages of our Bible, and give us the power to change. here before we leave here today. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. To the messenger, or remember, messenger, I'm going to call pastor. It's the messenger of the church, the pastor. Now, to the pastor of the church in Laodicea, right? These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. Three things. These things says the Amen. Now, to each of these seven churches, the Lord starts off with a reference of himself to all seven of these. Now, the Lord here uses three descriptive phrases regarding his identity. First off, he calls himself the Amen. And Amen means what? So be it. These things says the Amen, the final word, the great so be it. These things says the end all, the final authority, the Lord Jesus Christ. It ends with him. E.F. Hutton, take a powder. When Jesus Christ speaks, people listen. Thus says the Amen. Ron, we're in Revelation 3:14, looking at this Laodicean church. Secondly, he calls himself the faithful and true witness. These things says the final word, the final authority, the faithful and true witness. That Greek word for witness also means martyr. Same Greek word. Certainly applies to him too, doesn't it? The faithful and true martyr. But there's no one else you want on the witness stand than the Son of God, if you belong to him. He's also the true witness, as opposed to all the false witnesses. Every which way you turn, there's false witnesses. Jesus Christ is the true witness. And he's the witness to what he has seen. What else can a witness be a witness to, right? He's a witness to what he's seen. Third, he calls himself the beginning of the creation of God. What does that mean? This is one of those texts that these Jehovah's Witnesses use to deceive people. Jesus calls himself the beginning of the creation of God. Now, if you're not careful, you might fall into this trap that Jesus was a created being, like the Jehovah's Witnesses say, but that's not what this means. This Greek word, arche, means pioneer, trailblazer, like Davy Crockett, head, chief, or the best one, the ruler of the creation of God. That's how the new NIV translates this. Also, the B for beginning, if you notice, it's capitalized in the New King James. Do you notice that? It's a name for him. It's a proper name. They've capitalized B in beginning. Jesus Christ is not a created being. He is a ruler over all that's created. You got to be careful what you believe. Don't listen to these guys. So when Jesus calls himself the beginning of the creation of God, the better translation would be, he is the ruler of the creation of God. Let's know and understand all of the Bible, right, church? You better be careful what you believe. Because if Jesus was a created being, then he's not God. Listen to this verse, Colossians 1:15. The Apostle Paul wrote this, speaking of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, listen, by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. There's that word again, arche. The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is Lord. This is his church. He is the head of it. By him all things were created. And he is the Amen. And we're here to praise him today in his house. But he's not a created being. That is a lie from the pit of hell. He is the faithful and true witness. He is the ruler over the creation of God, not the first thing made. Verse 15, I know your works, that you were neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. All right, why doesn't he just say, I wish you were cold or hot? He says, I could wish. Well, this word here is an interjection concerning an unattainable wish. In other words, this ain't going to happen would be modern vernacular. Or if it would make a difference in either way, I could wish that you were cold or hot. Or if it would do any good, I could wish that you were cold or hot. So what describes the church today? Lukewarm. Lukewarm. The same temperature as your surroundings. Look, the church was influenced by the community instead of the community influenced by the church. They had it backwards. This is Island Community Church. This church should never be influenced by the community. Our community needs to be influenced by us. We go out here and influence this community with the Word of God, with the righteous standard of the Word of God. You've got to get it somewhere. People run around out here marrying their cats. You got to get truth from somewhere. It's right here. We go out north, south, east, and west, and we influence the community, not the community influencing us. That's the problem here. Having one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. You know, you don't want to offend anyone, you see. So, yeah, one foot in the kingdom, you know, a little bit of holiness, and one foot in the world, you know, oh, yeah, that's okay. We can ordain gay ministers. That's fine. I can come in here. I can marry man and a woman and a woman because I don't want to, or else when the WABC News knocks on the door and they say, Pastor, what do you think about marriage? Oh, take thy knees. Because I'm scared. You see, that's a lukewarm church. You believe what the Word of God says, but you're too scared of the people outside the door, and you let them influence you in here, and you believe the truth, but you don't stand up for it. Sound familiar? Luckily, we don't have that. You see, now, normally I would say we don't have that problem here. But after what I've read, what happened to this pastor, I'm afraid of that news we got earlier, right? I'm afraid I'm a rotten, dirty, good-for-nothing pastor and a bad radio man. So I'm going to be careful what I declare. But I would hope that we're a church that's doing it right, right? All I ask is just show me where I'm doing it wrong and we'll change before we leave today. We'll never go home until we make it right. That's all I ask. Show me where we're doing it wrong and we'll change it today, right? We'll make it right. I'm sure there's a long list of things. Show me what they are and we'll make it right. It should be the same with you. This condition makes the Lord, according to his own words, just want to vomit. Makes him sick. You pretending to play church while remaining a friend of this evil world makes him sick to his stomach. Don't waste your time. He doesn't even say this stuff to the dead church. He didn't say this stuff to the corrupt church. He said this stuff to the church that's got a foot in the kingdom. Those who pretend to be Christian and follow the world and follow the Bible, but give in to this evil world out here. Those are the ones that make him sick. Not even, he even says it right here. I could wish that you were dead. You'd be all right. I could wish you were alive or hot, dead, hot or cold. Now, my old Thompson Chain Study Bible describes this spiritual condition as half-heartedness. So a few questions then would only be natural. What is half-heartedness? What makes a person half-hearted? And what's the remedy, right? Remember, the purpose of this entire series, although these seven churches represent the seven ages the church will go through until Jesus returns, you yourself could find yourself in any one of these seven types of churches. The Lord said the lukewarm church is neither hot nor cold in their service to Christ. But lukewarm, where your service and attitude could be labeled half-hearted. All right, what is half-heartedness? Well, prior to that, again, here's the verse. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you were lukewarm, or that is because you're just like everyone outside of your doors, because there's no discernible difference between you and those outside this door. I will vomit you out of my mouth. So what's half-heartedness? Well, just like the word suggests, or better yet, going through the motions. Like putting your hands into serving the Lord, but not your heart. I like that definition. Putting your hands into serving the Lord, but not putting your heart into it. Follow me here. Have you ever said your prayers half-hearted? Have you ever said grace over your lunch half-hearted? Like I told you last week. Have you ever been indifferent to the things of God? Have you ever find yourself going through the motions? Now, I'll tell you what, if you're honest, every blessed soul in this church will admit that they suffer from that and have endured and have gone through with that. If you're honest, it's a spiritual condition. You see, now, here's the problem revealed in verse 17. He says, because you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and I have need of nothing. And it says, you do not know. You see, like Eve, like Judas, like all the others, the end times lukewarm church is deceived. They're deceived. They think they're okay, but they're not. If you're in a lukewarm church, you are deceived, or else you realize it and you just don't care. Then I would suggest you transfer into the dead church. If you don't care about it, the end times church thinks they're okay because they have money or because they have church growth. Now, again, back to verse 17. Because you say, I am rich and I've become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This church is the church of today, whose attitude is, We're running fine, thank you very much. Doing great, tithes are up, so is the attendance. This is the last church that'll be operating at the end of the age. So my second question is, what makes a person half-hearted or lukewarm? What makes a person half-hearted or lukewarm? The answer to that is easy. It's one word. Worldliness. Worldliness. What an abomination to God. Worldliness. Or worldliness for a lifestyle. I got a nice Jeep out here just like anyone else, but I don't worship it. I hold what I have with two open hands. Because as quickly as God can give you, God can take it away as well. Do you worship these things? Worldliness reminds me of that old saying, not a care in the world. Here's the opposite. Here you've been infected by this evil world. Listen to this verse. Again, I've quoted it a million times in this church, James 4:4. James calls them adulterers. You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow, it cuts like a knife, doesn't it? You see, because this worldliness will kill you. It'll strangle the life out of you, and it'll make you no different than everyone else out here in the street. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready for his return? He's coming back a second time for all of you that look for him. Is that you? Are you looking for his return?
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's modern worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with the treasure from the Word.
Mark chapter 6, verse 47. This is a time when the disciples got in trouble, and when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he, Jesus, alone on the land, and he saw them toiling in rowing. He saw them toiling and rowing. They didn't see him. He saw them. And he never took his eye off of them. And what was he doing there on that mountain? He was praying for them. He was interceding for them. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's watching over you, and he is praying for you. Are you in the midst of a storm? You can say, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit